Jesus himself said he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Well, we're continuing in a look at the parables. I told you there are 34 different parables. They're found in all four of the Gospels. The one notable difference is the synoptics. The first three Gospels share some of the same parables, but John's Gospel has its own unique view. He's not quite as plenteous in using parables. But they are all told as stories for our self-evaluation. And this parable is an example to help us. Some, it says, as it starts off, who trusted themselves, they were the righteous and regarded others with contempt. So we've set the scene at this point. And the Pharisee is dealt with first. Now, the Pharisee was the honorable person. But in this parable, he appears to be pretty obnoxious and insufferable. He only acknowledges or thanks God for the fact that he is not like other people. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever self-elevated your own presence in a community of others that you don't respect as highly? Then I think at one point or another, all of us have been guilty of a little bit of that. And so we look at thieves and adulterers and rogues and people who've just done stuff different than us. And in their case, it was a tax collector. Because a tax collector could make up his or her mind, I don't know if there were women, to charge whatever interest they required. And no one would do anything about it. So if they didn't like you, they'd amped up the cost. So let's look at this whole thing through the eyes of a Pharisee who is better than others. You see, Pharisee itself meant separated. A Pharisee separated himself out by his behavior, by his example, by the things that he spent his time with, memorizing Torah, providing for all the laws that Torah required. The Pharisee sought to separate himself. And Jesus is contrasting this Pharisaic piety to common life. You see, the truth is, Psalm 1 says, happy are those who follow the advice, who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or who take the path. Or to take the path that sinners tread. That psalm was one of the first ones when I was a sophomore in high school. One of my youth sponsors, a nurse who was probably about 30 years old, gave me a book of psalms and challenged me to read them. And this first psalm, she had me memorize. Because it tells about a person who wants to be what God wants him or her to be. And that's exactly what the Pharisees believed. They believed they wanted to be who God wanted them to be. And so in this Torah-believing community, they were the ones that guarded the ancient faith that they had from their Jewish forefathers. Though it's now a Roman-dominated culture, Greek with influence of Rome, it is still this separate Torah-guided community. And, in Deuteronomy 26, it describes the process of bringing your tithe before God. and presenting them at the altar of the temple. And that is what basically this Pharisee is doing. But Jesus contrasts this Pharisee with another person that's entering the temple, someone that most people would look down on, a tax collector. Hear the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, told in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14, the word of the Lord. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others as with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Then Jesus goes on, he says, I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. Will you join me in a word of prayer? Lord God, thank you that you give us this parable to remind us of the inbred idea that we humans somehow get that we're better than others. Especially during times of isolation like this COVID thing, we get extracted from difference, and it just builds our resistance to it. So Lord, help us to see how we can best represent you in our daily lives, in how we treat one another. I pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, one afternoon, a story is told about a carpet layer. He'd just finished installing a carpet for a lady, and he stepped out for a smoke only to realize that he'd lost his cigarettes. After a quick but fruitless search, he noticed that in the middle of the room under the carpet he had just installed was a bump. Ah, he thought, my cigarettes. Well, no sense in pulling up the floor for one pack of smokes, and so instead he got his mallet and he flattened that bump until it didn't show. And not long after that he was cleaning up and the lady came in. She said, here, handing him his packet of cigarettes. I found them in my hallway. Now, she said, if only I could find my parakeet. Oops, my bad. Sometimes we know we've made a mistake, but sometimes we don't. It's the ones we don't see that can really bite us. In the magazine Mental Floss, they told a story, an article, about the different things that had happened that were big mistakes in the life of our world. One mistake that sobered America up was Prohibition. In the United States, it lasted, as many of you know, from 1920 to 1933. But if you watch the series The Untouchables, you know that there was a lot of crime during that time. It was illegal to manufacture, transport, and sell alcohol, which sounds like a great idea at the time, but we've discovered that there were many people in the United States that really wanted to drink. So much so that the criminals made a profit in that. And prohibition opened our eyes to the way that organized crime can meet demands when we make mistakes. Or how about this one that I didn't know? The mistake that killed John Wayne. Much of the filming of the movie The Conqueror was done in Utah's Snow Canyon, which is located about 150 miles downwind from a nuclear testing facility. At least 91 of the 220 people who worked on that movie contracted cancer, and more than half of them died, including John Wayne. Mistakes. They're often made. We make them. My bad. Oops. But the things that really get us are those things that are hidden from our view. Those hidden faults that we don't consider. You know, I'm sure a Pharisee didn't consider his life a faulty one. They were good people. They tithe, they did all these things. Do you know the tithe was minimal, but he did twice the amount. In verse 9, as he told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. Do you think you're righteous? Well, if we're good church people, we probably do. We probably say, oh, I'm better than, you can fill in whatever you would say. Robbers, haters, people who don't live according to the laws of our land. But do you know that Jesus is speaking to the average Joe or Josephine? Because average people tend to see themselves as better than average. Studies show that 9 in 10 managers rate themselves superior to their average colleagues, as do 9 in 10 college professors. And according to a professor of psychology, David Myers, most drivers, even those who have been hospitalized after accidents, believe themselves to be safer and more skilled than the average driver. How would you rate yourself? You see, the one thing that humorist Dave Barry says unites all human beings, regardless of age, gender, religion, economic status, or ethnic background, is that deep down inside, we all believe we're above average drivers. It's an interesting notion, isn't it? Two people, Jesus says, go up to the temple to pray, a Pharisee and a tax collector. The natural assumption by anyone listening to the story is that the Pharisee is the devout person. He's the good driver. He's the tax collector. No, he's not the tax collector. The tax collector is a sinner. He takes advantage of his people. He's a bad driver. Sure enough, the Pharisee steps away from the crowd in order to maintain his purity before God. And he launches into a series of his religious accomplishments. God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. You know, the Pharisaic requirement was only to fast once a week. But he did double duty. He was very proud of himself. He does everything right. God, the tax collector, on the other hand, says, as he bows his head and beats on his chest, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Now, there's no reason to assume that the tax collector is particularly a spectacular sinner. He was not a thief. He was not a rogue. He wasn't an adulterer. But it's interesting in how he thought about himself versus others. So sin has its way of creeping into each of our lives in different ways. See, these are both people that are seeking a connection with God. But do they each find it? No. In Jesus' story, a surprising twist, he says, I tell you, this tax collector went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. You see, the tax collector is actually trying to restore his relationship with God by asking forgiveness. But the Pharisee pushes himself further away from God by boasting of his righteousness. It isn't what the hearers of this original story would have expected. I mean, they've been taught that good behavior draws you closer to God. So a Pharisee that does all this good stuff must be really good. But the other guy, he confesses who he is. My bad. Rather than boast, my good. You see, he suggests that when you trust in God, this is Jesus' attitude. You get God, but when you trust only in yourself, maybe all you get is only yourself. One mistake that can really bite us in our future, in our failure to see the image of God in people around us. People who are different than us, different colors of skin, different hairstyles, tattoos, piercings, body shape. I don't know, you make up your criteria. But some of those differences make us step back. And just like the Pharisee, we move away from the crowd. You see, we're quick to judge, aren't we? And remember, it's easier to judge others more harshly than we judge ourselves. And finally, we err when we're not honest with God about our need for forgiveness. The tax collector understood his position before God. Yes, it was bad. But he claimed, God, you are merciful. Be merciful to me, a sinner. He's looking for repentance. He's looking for connection. How do I get to the place where I see God not only in myself, but in others? Where I can see that my neighbors who don't go to church might be more beautiful people than I imagine. They're missing something, I believe. But boy, God still loves them. And God asks us to pray, to show mercy to those who we know need Him. So, I guess the next time we compare ourselves to anyone else and elevate ourselves because we're good Sunday school boys and girls, steeped in Scripture and full of God's love, we need to remember that we begin with two words, honestly spoken. My bad. And that takes us to the communion table, because the communion table is where we get right with God.